You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com. Hi, Preppers and Patriots. This is a recording of my recent appearance on the Ever Vigilant podcast with Joe Prim. Enjoy the show. Hi, my name is Mark Goodwin. I am the host of Prepper Recon Podcast. I've also written several post-apocalyptic fiction books, Christian post-apocalyptic fiction. I've written Days of Noah series, which was supposed to be sort of a lead-up to the rapture, and that's a three-book series. And then I wrote, and then I didn't really have any intentions to write a follow-on series after that, but I got so much reader feedback of people that said they wanted to know what happens to the characters that get left behind. I specifically thought, well, that's something that's already been done, but they wanted to know about these characters. And of course, things have evolved so much as far as like what's possible in technology and oppressive governments and the emergence of sort of this one world super state that's growing in the UN and particular Europe and with Agenda 2030 and all of those types of things that you know the one world government thing has progressed so far since Tim LaHaye wrote his Left Behind series and Jerry B. Jenkins also I thought that I had a lot to sort of add to that story that is very, very different than the way they wrote that book, that series of books. And so I continued the people that were left behind at the end of my Days of Noah series, and I did another series called The Days of Elijah. And that ended up being a four-book series. I also did a series on the economic collapse, and that one's called The Economic Collapse Chronicles. And then every post-apocalyptic writer has to have an EMP series. That's sort of your entry admission ticket there, if you will. So I did one, and it sort of looked at it from a prophetic perspective. So that one's called Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, and that's a four book series as well. And then I've just started a new series, and the first book of that's out. Second book is coming very, very soon, and that's called Ava's Crucible. Ava's Crucible looks at the communist socialist agenda that's hijacked our mainstream media, our public school system, our entertainment industry, and our culture at large, and they've stolen the minds of America's children like a Pied Piper. And it looks at all of that, and it just sort of progresses everything that I've just talked about, projects that into the future and looks at the coming civil war that we would have if the Patriots even choose to make a stand of it and they don't just sort of hand over the keys. So that's Ava's Crucible, and that's the second civil war in America.
I have thoroughly appreciated your books, Mark. So how long have you been writing?
5 years.
Is that something that you did back in high school and something that's always been kind of a passion for you, or is it something newer?
I've always had a really active imagination. A lot of my report cards said when I was in high school and middle school said daydreams too much, which, you know, retrospectively, maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't daydream enough. Maybe I should have started this a long time ago. But I was sitting in church about 5 years ago, a little more, and I was really asking God for direction on which way I was going to take my life. And I was looking for a career path because I just kind of decided that I'd gotten my accounting degree and I'd been working for a forensic accountant, and the guy was really, really sort of a jerk, totally a jerk, not sort of. And I'd had to leave that job, and I hated it. I hated the thing of just sitting there, and I thought I would like it because I really like numbers, I really like economics, I really like sort of working on my own. I'm an introvert, so I thought I would do good in that sort of a field, and just didn't work out the way that I thought it would. So I was looking for direction, the pastor in the middle of his sermon stops and says, somebody out there has got a book rolling around in their head, and you need to go home and start writing it. And I'd had a book rolling around in my head, but I thought, surely this isn't me. But just in case it is, I'm going to go home and start writing it. And once again, retrospectively, I'm starting to think maybe it was me that word was for.
Wow, that's awesome. And you were obedient to it also. Mm-hmm. So was what you ended up writing the book that was floating around in your head, or has that kind of evolved too?
Yeah, no, that was it. That was the Economic Collapse Chronicles. That was the first book, American Exit Strategy.
And what are you thinking in that direction, Mark?
What had me I'm sorry.
Because that's actually probably one of my – yeah, what had you thinking in that direction, Mark, about the economic collapse? Because that series is actually one of my favorite book series, because it's very easy to relate to. It's very down to earth. It's very basic. You can really relate to the people in the story, but yet it's chock full of good advice and some good thinking.
Yeah, after the 2009 crash, I really didn't understand what almost took our system over the edge, and so I started like really digging and educating myself on all those types of things, collateralized debt obligations and subprime mortgages and the way that they're all packaged together and split up the way that the banks were taking both sides of the position. They were taking the long side by having the subprime loans and then boxing them up and selling those off, and then they were taking credit default swaps on those loans, which is basically you're betting against it. You're betting that it's going to fail. And so they were making money on both sides of the deal with that, and it was like common knowledge, especially in places like Goldman Sachs, that all of those subprime mortgages were going to blow up, and that they were going to cash in on the credit default swaps. And, it's criminal. It's absolutely criminal. For one, if you know that something's going to happen like that, and then you make a trade on that. For one, it's insider trading. But to know that it's bad debt that you're selling off to your customers, and for many of these people, you know, they had fiduciary duties to the people that they're actually selling these to. They're actually, you know, representing them in the instances where they're the broker, or their financial advisors. And nobody went to jail over that. And it was crazy. And then the thing that they did, and it really did, it took us like within inches of completely going over the cliff economically and having an absolute and total economic collapse. But the things that they did to pull us back from the edge, you know, they used all the bullets in the gun, and we've really got nothing left. And we've really done nothing to fix the problems. You know, one of the problems was that they said, well, we can't lock anybody up because they're too big to jail, because they're too big to fail. If these institutions goes down, all of them, you know, AIG and Goldman Sachs and all of them, if they go down, they'll take the economy with them. So they couldn't do that. So what they ended up doing is they ended up taking all of these institutions and merging them into these super institutions. You know, I think Bank of America was merged with Merrill Lynch and so many others that were just, they took these failing institutions and mashed them into more, even larger, too bigger to fail, too bigger to jail institutions. So we've done nothing to fix the problem. And, you know, we've been now almost 10 years with historically low interest rates. They're trying to creep those back up, but everybody knows that if they do that, now we've got $21 trillion in national debt. So we can't raise them too much, because then the interest on our debt that we've racked up will consume every single penny of our income that we take in through the IRS. So we're really in a pickle here. And, you know, we've got this little short window of Trump prosperity. And this is the time that folks need to be socking away money and getting ready for the next crisis, because it's coming. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this new book, and you said it's Ava's Crucible is about the potential upcoming civil war, kind of from the vantage point of your characters in your book. You said something that caught my attention, and that was, if the Patriots, which in reality is in a big part of the Patriots, should be the Christians, would the Christians stand up and do anything? And that is a running question and a running issue, and something that I bring up quite a bit on this podcast is, when will the warriors stand up for the kingdom? And, you know, there's a time to be on our knees, and then there's a time to act. So what's your thoughts on that, Mark? What are your thoughts on if the church and if the Patriots would stand up, or if we'll just continue to back down and continue to hide the little light of mine underneath the bushel basket?
Yeah, we won't. We will. In large, there may be little pockets, and I know that there are some pockets around the country that are in better positions and are thinking about this more so than others. But by and large, nationally, we will stand down. There'll be little more done than is done now. You know, every January there is the Right to Life March in Washington D.C. And it, for the most part, it's mostly the Catholics that do that. There's very, very little Protestant participation in the Right to Life movement. So every January, you know, that's the Roe v. Wade anniversary, and folks take to the streets. It gets no media coverage. So to be fair, you know, we don't hear about it because they cover it up, and they cover instead the Women's March, which is usually the same week. The Pink Hat Women's March is usually the same week now as the Right to Life and March for Life is what it's called, actually. And so now that entire term has been hijacked now by the Florida school shooting kids. That's March for Our Lives, which gets tons of media coverage and probably has a similar amount of participants as the March for Life demonstration every January. But it gets none. But, you know, every single town in America has some version of March for Life on that Roe v. Wade weekend or the weekends leading up to it. And I'll tell you, in our town, it's there were this past year, there were no other Protestant churches out there demonstrating, holding signs, and trying to just say this is wrong, that you know, we don't want this blood on our hands on Judgment Day. And so if the Protestant church in large will just sit back and say nothing, and there's no outrage over 3,288 children being murdered in abortion butcher shops every single day, which is more than 9/11, Sandy Hook, Columbine, and the kids in Parkland. You put all those casualties together, and they don't add up to 3,288 that are murdered every single day in abortion mills. So there's zero outrage over that. So, you know, would it even be right for us to now stand up when they come for our guns? If we've said nothing for four decades over all these children being murdered, and there's been no outrage over that, is it even right for us to stand up at this point? Or should we just sit back and take our medicine? Because, you know, in one respect, I almost think we deserve it.
No, it's hard to argue that we don't deserve it, Mark. I mean, we know that we do. Mm-hmm. We are definitely sinners that are only saved by grace. And the church and the Christians, men and women, have become more concerned over the American dream than God's plan. And that the abortion issue is a perfect example of that. In fact, I hear more non-Christians, more actually atheists, like in the vein of Stefan Molyneux, coming out and speaking boldly and strongly about ethics and morality and how abortion is wrong, than I hear it being raised and brought up by Christians.
Yeah, and it's not a popular Sunday pulpit topic either. And you know, we'd had to search really, really hard to find a decent church when we relocated. And you know, it was painful to see the apathy of what is most churches right now, that's in the pulpit right now in most churches.
I couldn't agree more, Mark. It's so frustrating and painful and hurtful to see that our brothers and sisters in Christ are focused on completely on the wrong things and oblivious to what is actually happening and what is actually going on in the world, as they contently sit down to watch Netflix and eat their bag of potato chips and, you know, turn a blind eye to really what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why don't you get a little bit into also what you have going on with Prepper Recon Podcast?
Well, we do a show once a week, and we have different guests that come on and speak about different aspects of preparedness and being alert to the things that are going on, because, you know, if you don't understand what the threat is, then you really don't understand how to prepare. So, you know, we do focus on that about as much, try to give equal time to the why and the how to prepare, you know.
Yeah, I think that's really important, so that if you don't see what's coming and you're apathetic to what's going on in the world, and while I am a firm believer in tribe and having your tribe of people and that being your main concern, if you don't know what's going on outside of those walls, you'll get hit by get blindsided by a storm that'll, you know, knock you out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think situational awareness is key, and you know it. And that's not going to come from watching 6 hours of Fox News every day. You know, You maybe scroll the headlines in on Drudge and click through the ones that are important, and you know, and find some good alternative news sources that you monitor. You know, a lot of them you can check in on once a week and stay pretty up to date. But you know, it's important to not get sucked into just the hours and hours of political rhetoric that really are not focusing on the problem at all. Although I will say, Fox did have, I think it was it Fox or Fox Business had Dr. Peter Pry on talking about, he was on Mark Levin's show talking about EMP. So I thought that was something that I haven't seen out of any of the major networks ever before. And I thought pretty good. Of course, you know, during the Republican primaries, we had several of the candidates bring up the possibility of EMP. I know Mike Huckabee talked about it. I know Carson mentioned it. And then Ted Cruz, I think he mentioned it as well. So there were several of the candidates in the Republican primaries did mention EMP, but you know, it's not something that people want to think about and they don't really want to hear about it. So it's probably not something that's going to continue to get airtime, even though it's a huge threat. That's the end of the first half of my conversation with Joe Prim of the Ever Vigilant podcast. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
The second book of the runaway best-selling series, Ava's Crucible by Mark Goodwin, is now available in Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. America has fallen, and Ava's band of misfits is all that stands between freedom and absolute tyranny. Political division in the United States has reached the boiling point, and the Second American Civil War is well underway. Communist agitators have been successful in their efforts to intimidate voters from key states and steal the election. A far-left socialist candidate has seized the reins of power, and his designs against the Republic are absolute. With a sympathetic Congress, he will sign in sweeping bans on firearms, criminalize free speech, and institute a new government agency to root out dissenters. Ava's group pledges to launch an insurgency campaign against the occupying force in Texas, but they'll have to watch out for those who have been tasked with purging the patriots. Her team cannot fail in their mission to liberate Texas. If Texas falls, America's demise is all but certain. Get your copy of this post-apocalyptic thrill ride from Amazon.com today.